Welcome to The Trending Show. My name is Mike Quackenbush, and I will lead you through an exploration of the top trending topics in internetdom from the past 7 days. That's right. I will go back a maximum of 1 week and then recount for you everything you need to know, provided that everything you need to know was searched a lot on Google or was a top trending topic on Twitter. So, you know, like really important stuff. Like Golden Corral and Sharknado. The Trending Show is made possible thanks to the generous support of our sponsor, Cobra Electronics, and I'll tell you about just one of their amazing gadgets a little later in the program. But let us delay no further. All right. Well, on Monday, people searched the heck out of Randy Travis. Why? Well, the 54-year-old country music star is in critical condition as a result of cardiomyopathy. Cardiomyopathy may be caused by viral infections, coronary heart disease, or diseases that involve other organs. Sometimes, though, the cause is unknown. And as the disease worsens, it can lead to heart failure, irregular heartbeat, and heart valve problems. At least that's what the American Heart Association says, and I have heard that they do study exactly these kinds of things there at the AHA. Anyway, even at the end of the week, Randy's still not doing so well. So come on, Randy. It's time for a miraculous comeback, buddy. On Monday, people also searched up Anna Benson. Why? The former model, stripper, and current star of Baseball Wives, which I am assuming is a period drama on BBC Two, lost custody of her kids to estranged husband, baseball pitcher Chris, not long after she broke into his house brandishing a gun while wearing a bulletproof vest. Then, after demanding money, she reportedly whipped out an expandable metal baton. Now, full disclosure here, I don't know Anna, but I can tell you she's not very bright. If you've got a gun, you do not also need the metal baton. That doesn't make a lick of sense, Anna. People searched up Stacy Keibler a whole lot. Why? Well, the former WWE diva is back on the market after doing the L splits with the worst Batman of all, George Clooney. Don't worry, Val Kilmer. You're a close second. When beautiful celebrities split up, you can be sure that people will want to know the inside scoop. And I've got the scoop for you right here on The Trending Show. Some websites report that Stacy and George disagreed about having children, but their agents declined to comment. Clooney's stance on this is well known, and it's been covered in the media for years. But something about this glamorous bachelor that you won't hear anywhere else is this. He is notorious among gorgeous young socialites for regularly employing the Dutch oven. Yeah, Urban Dictionary that. Also on Monday, people were searching for info on Meta World Peace. And I was stunned to learn this is the name of a guy that plays basketball. Yeah, he's 33 and quite tall. He's paid just shy of $8 million annually to sing backup for Kobe Bryant in post-game showers. And the restaurant Golden Corral was hot on Monday because an employee posted a video that went viral showing raw food on trays being disposed of near a dumpster. People were grossed out by this video. Now, the company Golden Corral, based in North Carolina, issued a statement saying that the food had been mishandled. It was not being disposed of properly. And as a result, somebody got fired. Elizabeth Hasselbeck was the topic of Tuesday, July 10th, hands down. The plucky blonde conservative departed the daytime vajayjay fest, The View, to take the place of the departing Gretchen Carlson on Fox and Friends. Hasselbeck was on Survivor, the Australian Outback, which you'll recall was a 2001 reality series filmed in a poorly lit steakhouse where I strained my eyes to read the menu. She survived elimination early on in the season thanks to Michael Scoopin falling into her tribe's campfire and having to be medevaced from the series by a VTO-enabled Bloomin' Onion. VTO, by the way, is aviator parlance for vertical takeoff, which I know in part because my father is a pilot, and in part because I paid really close attention to every detail on G.I. Joe. Fox and Friends is described by Wikipedia as an American morning television show. I can confirm this to be true. Also hot on Tuesday, the interior of my car. On the internet, though, people were mostly talking GTA 5. You know what I mean. Grand Theft Auto. Now, a trailer featuring actual gameplay from the PlayStation 3 version of the new video game was released to the delight of gamers everywhere, except, I guess, gamers that hate the Grand Theft Auto franchise. Other top searched topics included Tootsie, the 1982 film, as a new interview with that wacky drag queen Dustin Hoffman was published. People were looking up reality stars like drunken sot Brandy Glanville and chronic overeater Tara Costa. They also searched for athletes like a quarterback that wore a 49ers cap for a photograph and an out-of-the-closet NBA dude. Their names escape me, but I'm sure they're cool. At the top of the program, I told you that our podcast is brought to you by Cobra Electronics, and you know what? That's entirely true. If you navigate your browser over to Cobra.com, you can find out about their incredible industry-leading innovations, among the latest and greatest of which is the new Cobra Joyride. This is an intelligent car charger system that's specifically designed for Android smartphones. And this system simplifies using your phone in the car. It minimizes the distractions and stress while driving. Pushing just a single button on the Joyride smart charger can trigger several different customizable actions like launching and bouncing between your favorite apps. It allows you to make one-touch, hands-free phone calls to keep you safe. You can launch voice commands, you can pause and play your favorite music, and using the free Joyride app that comes with it, it allows it to communicate directly with the smart charger, and it opens up a new world of in-car convenience and personalization for you, the driver. It's got large tactile buttons with dozens of configurable actions. You can navigate yourself back home or call a specific person at the touch of a button. It will make your in-car experience a whole lot safer, and that is something we can all aspire to. The Cobra Joyride is just one of many great innovations you're going to find out about when you go and visit our great show sponsors, Cobra.com. And we can't keep delivering shows like The Trending Show to you unless we have great sponsors like our pals over at Cobra, which is why I wanted to take this opportunity to thank them for their long-standing support of us here at Grizzly Productions. Thanks a bunch, Cobra.com. This past Wednesday, the murder of Terry Smith Jr., an 11-year-old boy that had been missing for over 4 days, was the subject of much searching and discussion. Police took a 16-year-old family member into custody after a body matching the description of the 11-year-old was found in a shallow grave near a tree on the family's property. While the police will not identify the minor, the only family member that could be is Terry's half-brother. And the arresting charge against this unidentified minor is murder. There are conflicting reports over whether or not the victim had autism. His mother says he did. His father and the boy's teachers say he did not. Ultimately, though, that is irrelevant. Upon hearing news of this kind, many of us wish to understand it in a greater context. What motivates a 16-year-old to kill his 11-year-old half-brother? What emotional deficiencies or disability must the aggressor have that somehow makes it easier to understand how something so heinous could occur? Is there any rhyme or any reason here that detracts from the horror of a 16-year-old murdering an 11-year-old? Is there any medical finding from any kind of evaluation with real merit or value that makes this reality more bearable or less awful? I don't think there is. I do not know the people involved in this story as anything more than the people I had to research before recording this podcast. And once this recording is complete, I hope to never hear of them again, and I hope to erase the thought of one boy murdering another as completely from my mental hard drive as the human brain allows. That's because there will be no acceptable resolution for this. There will never be adequate explanation or justification for something like this. Yes, someone involved will be accused of negligence. Yes, someone will be paid lots of money to make sure this responsible party does not, or maybe does, go to jail as a result. None of this diminishes or rectifies the mindless loss of a young life. I don't care to know more about these people. The only thing I really wish to take away from this is the reminder of what a parent's job really is. To envelop our innocent ones in a sphere of love and safety to the maximum ability of our human life forms. To aspire to superhuman levels when possible. Because those innocent lives cannot possibly be too loved or kept too safe. The world is an increasingly terrible place, or at least the website that shows me where all the sexual offenders in my county live leads me to believe it is an increasingly terrible place, and those that prey on the most innocent among us are more sophisticated, more well-equipped, more careful than at any time in human history. So the onus is on us to be more clever, to be more vigilant, to be more resourceful, and to show our children how to be those same things as well, so that news stories like this one will never ever feature someone that we know and love. Also getting massive play on Wednesday, a Huffington Post photo tagged Khloe Kardashian in short shorts. The news piece that followed mentioned that in the photo, she chose to also wear Timberland boots and a white shirt. If you're trying to picture which Kardashian she is, she's the vapid one. On Thursday, July 11th, the webs were a-buzzin' about Sharknado, which was a meme-worthy hit for a cup of coffee or so. This original Sci-Fi Network movie starring Tara Reid involves tornadoes teeming with sharks hitting Los Angeles. To clarify what is admittedly a strange title, the tornadoes have sharks inside of them, and the sharks then are on the loose, on land. There's lots of water in places you wouldn't expect, and in this movie, that is attributed to global warming, which, as you know, has a tendency to result in shark-laden tornadoes. Despite being one of the most talked-about topics on Twitter and everywhere else on Thursday, Sharknado did not even come close to doing a respectable number for the Sci-Fi Network. In non-stupid news, Leah Remini, best known for being too hot for Kevin James in all 207 episodes of The King of Queens, left the Church of Scientology to the approval of all her fans worldwide. Among her issues with the church, she was subjected to thought modification sessions at their Los Angeles Celebrity Center International building. There is no other news on this topic to consider, my friends. The Church of Scientology built a Celebrity Center International building. In this building, they subjected at least one person to a session of thought modification. A spokesperson for the Church of Scientology, the Dark Phoenix, which looks a lot like Jean Grey but just isn't, said no comment. Seems on the level to me. As reporters departed the scene, the Dark Phoenix then ate half of the moon. Over the weekend, the top trends all surrounded the unfortunate passing of young actor Corey Monteith. He's the star of Glee, handsome young guy. It's very sad. He was 31 years old. He was discovered in a Vancouver hotel room. The authorities have ruled out foul play. But once the Gleeky stuff was cleared, people were chatting up hashtag no justice in response to the not guilty verdict in the George Zimmerman case. Terms like Zimmerman verdict were the start of millions of searches on Friday and Saturday and dominated Google results all weekend long. Zimmerman shot and killed 17-year-old Trayvon Martin in Florida about 17 months ago. The assertion put forward by Zimmerman's defense attorney, a well-dressed scarecrow from a really expensive law firm, was that Zimmerman acted only in self-defense after being pummeled by Martin in a sidewalk brawl. All terms related to this case drew massive interest across the internet, and the only two things that could compete were Pacific Rim, the new Guillermo del Toro sci-fi epic of robots fighting kaijus, and the promotion at Chick-fil-A where you get free alternative lifestyle-safe French fries for wearing a cow costume or accessory into their restaurant. And just thinking about that is making me very hungry. A rumor was debunked when former Disney star Kyle Massey assured his fans that internet scuttlebutt that he is dying of cancer is totally false. He did confirm rumors, however, that he is otherwise irrelevant to the world at large. Amidst all this horrible doom and gloom, the bright, shining light of the day was Bastille Day, which, unbelievably, people were searching and tweeting about. Bastille Day is French National Day, which makes it difficult to believe that anyone other than the French care about it. I don't expect Hungarians to have barbecues in Budapest on the 4th of July while blasting the very best of the Doobie Brothers. On a personal note, I would love to be invited to a barbecue on the 4th of July where all that is being blasted is the very best of the Doobie Brothers. If this sounds like your 4th of July celebration and you are uncertain about inviting me, rest assured, I will bring napkins and or a box of those clear plastic, multicolored, sword-shaped toothpicks for picking up cocktail weenies off your spangly paper plates. All right, I'm glad I got that out. The major city to which I live closest is the city of Philadelphia, which gave the world both cream cheese and Hall & Oates. On Bastille Day, a celebration staged by Francophiles from the area takes place at Eastern State Penitentiary. I'm not making that up. At this, air quotes you can't see on the audio podcast, celebration, they reenact the decapitation of Marie Antoinette, while volunteers hurl 3,000 tasty cakes from the prison's towers. If I had known, even 30 minutes before such a thing took place, that this was a real activity that adults engaged in, I would have driven directly to the penitentiary in the hopes of catching a buttercream iced cupcake on its downward descent. To reiterate, 3,000 tasty cakes are wasted every year on Bastille Day in Philadelphia. The Greater Philadelphia Coalition Against Hunger estimates that 20% of children in Pennsylvania alone do not get the amount of food they need on a daily basis. Okay? 20%. 3,000 tasty cakes. Statistics. Well, before we part ways, I would like to thank Cobra.com for their continued support of my podcasting ventures. I'd like to thank my friends, the Morris family, who, to the benefit or detriment of Grizzly Productions, have never hesitated to put a microphone in front of my face and say, just be you. And I will thank you, loyal Trendies, if, before I record again, you drop by the iTunes store and write a little 5-star review of The Trending Show to remind Apple employees that you like to know what's going on in the world. But you sometimes like it to be delivered with snarky remarks, outright sarcasm, and couched in the occasional fib. That's almost certainly what you'll get when I press record once again next week. But until then, my friends, adios.